can only fight the fight we fought so long, baby. Till it all burns down, till it all burns down. So what's it gonna take to make this all stop now, baby? Till it all burns down, till it all burns down. Listen, mama, know you're broken hearted, 'cause the piece you're hoping for is off a scene's apart.
And gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other, a podcast from IlliniBoard.com. I'm going to get right to it in a bit, where it's a conversation I recorded today with Martin O'Donnell talking about the football season. First, had some questions, wanted to answer some questions about the hiatus of the podcast, if you will. There's a lot I don't need to get into. It's just a personal thing of like why I wanted to take a little break. But as I said the last time I did one of these, I like the idea of the word from. I do from the stands on this feed. I do from the highway on this feed. And so I want to keep it that way. I've been finding that the stress of trying to, I don't know, force audio content got to be a little too much for me last year. And so I decided that for this school year, for the 24 football season and the 25 basketball season, I wanted it to just be organic. And so that's why every episode has been a from something. This one is from the kitchen island. Martin came over, we sat down, we had a conversation like we've been wanting to do, to talk about the football season, and that's what this is. I don't know if I'll keep with that format. I don't know exactly anything other than I wanted to get out of some of the formality of what I had been doing, because the response I get was to the organic stuff, and there's just so much online audio content out there that I didn't want to try to jump into that pool. I just wanted to, when there's something to talk about and the best way to put it out there is as audio, to do this. You guys know me, I'm not a person who wants to like set up video equipment and film myself and put a clip of it somewhere, and I don't fit in that world. I fit in the fan world, and the fan world is me wandering around the stadium after the bowl win, recording from the field, from the stands, from wherever I'm at. And this one just happens to be from the kitchen island. So I don't know how many of these episodes will be, you know, intro music, outro music, and how many will be, hey, here's 4 minutes I recorded from the hallway outside of this because I just had a thought I wanted to share and put it in the podcast feed. But that's the direction I'm going this year. So that's the explanation. Here's the audio. Me and Martin sitting around the kitchen island. I mean, the little counter's going, so I think we're recording. I'm not even going to do an intro. Martin, welcome to the kitchen. Is it echoing? I wonder if this echoes. It's kind of an echoey room. I bet this is echoing.
Have you ever done one here before? Probably helps the echoing if you don't shout.
This is the first ever from the kitchen island.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're going to find out, right? Aren't we?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
It's like the radio version of Between Two Ferns. Yeah.
All right. So we just had lunch. No, we have, how long you got? What do we got?
I think you literally directed that cough into the microphone.
Yes. I turned my head so that the cough.
I've been out of radio for a little bit, but I don't think this is how it's supposed to go.
So that button there, the mute, that's probably the cough button where I don't cough directly.
Well, you know, or here's a brilliant idea. There you go. Turn your head. Right?
Like, that's a brilliant idea. Get healthy and don't cough. Okay, we're off to a roaring start. Let's talk a lot of. I'm gonna drink from this Powerade, and that's gonna.
You don't have
my
to
cough.
Drink right into the microphone. Remember that.
Okay, yes, okay. I can hit the mute button. Okay, it's just, God bless America. Hold on, I gotta drink. Mm-hmm.
God, I can't tell. I can't tell if you're messing with me right now.
Like, are we really recording this?
That's the question.
Okay, It's just I'm using the deeper tones of my voice, and it's rattling some things in my lungs that I'm trying to cough up. That's more information than anyone needed, just like I said at lunch. So, let's talk Illini football, should yes. we? Did you know, are you aware that the University of Illinois football team went 10-3 and won the Citrus Bowl? Have you been aware of this?
10 games?
Yes, 10 entire games in one single season.
Yeah, I'm aware, and it's pretty awesome.
Yep.
It's pretty great.
Yep. We're recording this on, what, January 24th?
Yep.
And the buzz of December 31st is still
yeah.
fully strong, at least for me. Like,
yeah.
When I think about it, I'm still just, I cannot get over the fact of how this season went.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and a lot of it, obviously, you know, it was a great, you know, the regular season was really, really good. And there's a lot of memorable games in there, certainly. And, you know, again, and I think, you know, you've said it and other people have said it. I fully believe it. I mean, it's probably the best home slate in terms of performance plus tailgating weather, you know, that you could effectively ever have, right? I mean, you had the Minnesota yep. game, fine, right? But the rest of it, you know, winning those games at home, you know, beating Michigan, all that stuff was fantastic. But then ultimately what it came down to was, you know, okay, then you're playing in, you know, a great bowl game in the Citrus Bowl in Orlando on a big stage, and to go out there and not just win, but, you know, win against, you know, a very good South Carolina team, team that everybody said, oh, they should have been in the playoff. And, you know, I think South Carolina thought they should be in the playoff, but to beat them and then to beat them the way that we did was just really, really gratifying and a lot of fun. And I think that just, we're not used to this kind of, you know, springboard of happiness that we got here on December 31st. And it's fantastic.
Let's talk about the thing that I'm constantly thinking about is that fourth quarter of the bowl game. Like, cause it's, I've written about this. I've talked about this. Like, it's hard to explain to people who weren't there, but all the stuff you saw with the T-bar and the coaches and Beamer yelling and Bielema smiling and all that, it was not exaggerated by the cameras. Some were like, oh, the ESPN just built this up. No. Both crowds were like, it is on, and I want to go over there to the other side right now.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody with football feelers out, it was full on, it is time to go. And the intensity of that fourth quarter was beyond any regular season game this year. It was absolutely on.
Yeah, no, it was. And I mean, and I think that's part of it too. I mean, I think and by the way, my Coach Bielema T-bar shirt, I think is being shipped right now. So I'm getting that at home and I'll wear it proudly. But yeah, I think it was two games. It was a high level of competition. I mean, it was chippy out there the whole game. I mean, you know, cause I like watching things between plays, and you know, Melvin Priestley was out there, you know, kind of getting into it with one of their defensive ends and kind of things, you know, there's little extracurriculars. And at one point their defensive end like ran through our huddle and gave one of our guys a shoulder on his way out. And I mean, but like, so that's the kind of game it was, like both teams. And it was a perfect scenario for, if you're a college football fan, it's the perfect scenario for the Citrus Bowl, where you had two programs that really wanted to be there. And two programs where the game was really meaningful, right? Because we talked about, you know, so that was, now it's the fifth time in program history we've won 10 games. I think South Carolina's done it 3 or 4 times total as well. So both teams were trying to win that 10th game because it's really important and meaningful to them. And both had, you know, minimal opt-outs, you know, I personally don't have an issue with, you know, the opt-outs in terms of, you know, guys who are going to try to play the next level. Like, I get it. It makes a ton of sense. You're trying to set up your family. But both teams were effectively playing at full strength, and you got a great football game, and it really, you know, it crescendoed there in the fourth quarter. And then it, you know, it just wound up being a really, really great football game. And, you know, again, I'm excited to see kind of where it takes us and where it springboards us. And obviously, you know, we're sitting here at the end of January, and we've done, you know, an unbelievable job of, you know, we got a lot of guys coming back next year. But yeah, what a game. The in-game atmosphere, I totally agree, was fantastic.
Yep.
In rewatching the game, I think if you're just watching it at home, you know, one, I mean, the TV announcers were terrible. But that's why you should listen to your local radio crew. but two, it also was a little bit deceiving, because Illinois fans, not surprisingly to anybody that would be listening to this, traveled really, really well.
Yep.
You know, to that game. But all the TV angles were kind of the South Carolina side, and we were outnumbered a little bit, but it wasn't as drastic as you would think. But yeah, it was just a great football game. A lot of fireworks there in the second half, and then, you know, obviously capped by, you know, the third and short and Josh McCray rumbling for 60 yards or whatever it was. But yeah, just a great intense football game.
Take me into like a huddle of a chippy game like that. Of, you know, you mentioned the Priestley thing, and I saw some of the same things. Just the, oh, did I bump you with my shoulder?
Yeah, right. Past
you
right.
Stuff. You know all the little things of like, oh, I stepped on his hand as he was getting up. Little chippy, like when a game turns to that. As a former player, what's the huddle like? What's the sideline like? Like, what are those moments like of like, hey, this one's a little more. Kind of.
I mean, it gets you fired up, right? Like, because that's the. You play football because you enjoy a physical sport, right? So when a game gets more physical, you kind of lean into it. But the other part of it is, you know, the leaders on your team, you know, on each side of the ball, you got a couple guys that will go out there and do something that's going to hurt the team, right? Like you have some guys that, that, you know, it's not that hard to get under their skin. And if somebody kind of goes after them. And so I think that's just part of it. Everybody know if you're on offense and defense, you know who those guys are. So you just, if you're on the sidelines or in the huddle, be like, hey, just, keep between the whistles. Just don't, destroy them between the whistles. Don't do anything extra. Don't let them bait you. Because the other part that happens on this is, you know, so you have guys going over the rep. Hey, are you guys seeing this? You know, the coaches, they're both working the officials. And so, you know, what'll happen is, and it didn't get there with this game, but you've seen it with other games, is, you know, the officials will start throwing flags because they do not want to allow it to get out of hand. And I think that was, you know, certainly just the tension that was building there in the fourth quarter. He had the wrong thing happen. I think it could have bubbled over a little bit more, but yeah, I mean, it's a chippy competitive football game. And it's also, that's the kind of thing just as a football fan, but also as a player, it's like, hey, look, let's decide this between the lines and between whistles and not let somebody making a mistake cause that crucial penalty, which then really decides the game. You want to see it really done kind of within the bounds of the rules. And we had that, which was great.
And that's why, I mean, that's what made the win so great. Like, you know, to all that to build, and you could feel it in the crowds, and you could feel it in the extra this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, you could sense it building. So when McCray broke through there, which totally broke the South Carolina stands. Like,
yeah,
like,
that was great.
It's hard to explain to somebody who wasn't there how this is yelling from the left, yelling from the right, yelling from the left, yelling from the right. Yep. And then one play, everybody sits down. Everybody is surrender cobra, like hands up to the head. All South Carolina fans are just like, oh, man, that's it. We have one timeout through the math. They can run it out. It's over. And it's just like, you know, and then the sound that built up from the other side of like, hey, we can cheer with abandon now because this game is over and we beat them.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the part of it too in that fourth quarter. Again, I mean, it's, again, just a really well-played, you know, competitive football game because South Carolina's going, you know, driving down to score a touchdown and we get the stop, right? And then you get the – so there's all of that tension kind of throughout all of that.
Yep.
And you're living and dying on every play, you know. And again, you know, part of it too, I mean, I loved our defensive game plan, but, you know, we're not really coming after them that much, which was absolutely the right game plan. You know, it was just like we did against Jaden Daniels, you know, Jalen Daniels, not Jaden. I'm thinking NFL playoffs. But the Kansas quarterback, you know, make him beat you passing the football. Yep. But what that results in is it results in longer plays, which just remains increasingly excruciating.
Yes.
And so you have all of this tension building. Then we get the ball back and you get down to third and short. But, right, it just you know, the Illinois side, as he burst through, I mean, it's just we're just losing our minds. Because you know what that means, and the South Carolina side is just done. I mean, I saw it was somewhere out there on social media, but they had the slow motion of, you know, kind of from the end zone, and you could see the fans behind Josh's. You can see one just a great job of blocking up front.
Yep.
But you see, I mean, you see the South Carolina fans just, I mean, right, the air just goes out of the balloon, and the Illinois fan just losing their mind. But it's seeing tens of thousands of people do that. It was great. I mean, it's up there for me. I mean, it's a top. You know, it's the top Illinois sports memory I have in terms of, you know, just period, hard stop, not playing, not anything, but just it's up there. It's number one, that game.
Yep, yep. The as an offensive lineman, that whole, I mean, they had what, 7-8 in the box, maybe a ninth.
Yeah.
You know, to have a hole like that open up on third and short in the game deciding game has to be like a good Lord. Like, that is...
No, it's... Yeah, it's beautiful. And again, part of it too, like, and I know you'll appreciate that, like, it's the poetic aspect of it, right? You have the, you know, the no review earlier in the game, and the fumble that they call on Josh, and, you know, again, and you sit there and you have that moment like, is this happening? You know, you get the huge play to Beatty, you get up on the ball, you're trying to snap it, they call a fumble, we turn the ball over. But for Josh to come back out and just have that game, and for him to be the guy, you know, who's been through a lot, you know, here at Illinois, you know, that great freshman year, and then he's battling through injury and just kind of sticks to it. And that's the great thing about college sports. You know, I think that's the piece that I would say have a concern that we kind of lose in this transfer NIL era is,
yep,
you were at risk of losing those bonds that, you know, all of us grew up with, and you know the players, and you watched kind of the progression, you watched kind of the character arc. And that's one thing, again, just going back to what I said earlier, I think our staff has done a great job. I love the fact that the players buy into it. I mean, we're still going to get that for another couple of years because we have guys staying in the program and they see the value and the development. But yeah, it was great. I mean, again, for Josh to do that in the offensive line, I mean, they played so well and they answered the bell so well down the stretch. And, you know, Bart Miller does, you know, just a tremendous job of coaching that unit. But to win it that way, like, that's always the dream, right? Every offense, you want to end the game with the ball in your hands, and you want to be able to run the clock out and do it on your terms. And to be able to do that on the biggest stage that we've played on in a very, very long time is, I mean, it was great.
One of my favorite memories of this game is the way we handled the kneel down. Okay, there's a game 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. I think it was Akron at home. Anyway, it's in the opener. We're playing a MAC team. Same kind of scenario. It was like 2:08 on the clock, and we got snapping on the first down. So you can't do three knees, but you just got to stretch it just a little. And we kind of botched it. I think we might have even had a false start, which then stops the clock and then resets the 25. You just lost 15 seconds. You can run off the clock and all this stuff. And so, you know, there's this whole big deal of, like, you know, I'm recording one of my From the Stands at the time, and I'm just so frustrated. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what? Like,
yeah.
Why do we not practice? This is the easiest. So for us to execute that 2:20 something, you know, okay, they have a timeout and they have this, but if we stretch these plays and we do this and we run kind of to the sideline but don't go out of bounds and this and that, you can almost get it to zero. And we got it to where the clocks were offset by 1 second.
Yeah.
Then we had practiced that play. Like, look, if you take a knee real fast, they might freeze it with 1 second on the clock, and then they have one crazy Hail one Mary, shot, yep, you know, whatever. So calmly snap the ball with 1 second on the play clock, take two steps back, hit the zero, hit your knee, ball game over. You know, that to me was the perfect cap. You know, for you, offensive lineman open a hole to end the game, yes. To me, the clock management, the fact that we were prepared and ready to run a series that could stretch beyond 2 minutes, or beyond, you know, I guess it was under 2 minutes because they got the 2 minute timeout and they had the one timeout, but, you know, it was whatever it was. We needed to stretch two plays and then, you know, burn another 17 seconds total. And we used that by running to the sideline and doing 8 second plays and everything else. And we actually got a benefit of the, I don't know if people noticed this, the clock guy actually accidentally hit the 25 button on the final play. So, like, when Altmyer's tackled, there was like 44 seconds on the clock. So I thought there would be a 4 second differential. But they hit the 25 play clock, and then, like, oops. And then they hit the 40 play clock.
Oh, really?
And that burned 2 or 3 seconds, and that's what left it with 1 second left. So if I was a South Carolina fan, I'd have been mad. But anyway, it didn't matter. Like, it would have been 4 seconds, and we would have, like, we'd probably snapped the ball and done the throw it as high as you can and run out 4 seconds play. But regardless, the fact that we ended the game like that, the fact that we took control and said it's over now and we can use this with longer plays, stretch to the sideline, burn a little more clock and not let you even touch the ball again, that just makes me so happy. It's competence, and that's what I've always been waiting for.
And I think that's, you know, I think they're prepared, and obviously, you know, Brett's got them you know, they go through a lot of these scenarios, right? Because that's something when you introduced the 2 minute warning. Was that this year? Was the first time we did that?
Yeah,
yeah. Or the 2 minute, whatever they call it.
2 minute timeout.
2 minute timeout. Yeah, obviously, because it's different. You know, that's something that causes, you know, the good teams are going to practice those types of scenarios. And I guarantee that we had practiced that scenario, like, hey, there's going to be a lag here, and how do we work through it, and what does that look like? So, yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. And then honestly, like, one of the, you know, kind of the cherry on top of the sundae for me was, you know, then, I mean, I've had, like, this weird thing. It's not weird, but, like, I've always done it since probably high school. I certainly did it during college because I remember it vividly because we were you know, my last season, we were always home at bowl time, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're watching college football bowl games, and you always see the winning team out there, and there's confetti, and they're celebrating, and there's a trophy, and, you know, there's a shirt. And, like, we never get that experience, right? Like, Illinois not had – and we've won bowl games, right? Like, we've won, you know, in 10 and 11, and but, you know, Craft Fight Hunger Bowl. But, like, we don't get a lot of those opportunities. And yes. So to be able to get that – and to be down there with my wife and our kids and to watch that game and have that much fun, and then to just kind of, like, stand there and see the confetti come down, and, you know, our team's out there and they're celebrating. I mean, it was just, you know, picking up confetti, and my kids have confetti that they brought home and stuff. Like, it was just a great cap to a great season. And, like, you know, that's why you watch sports, right? Like, that's why we follow this team. But, like, this is our team. I mean, it's Illinois football, and to have that season to cap it and to be 10-3, like, it was incredible. And, like, all it took was me just, like, getting away from the team, and then all of a sudden there's a lot of success. And I told everybody, I'm like, hey, I would have left years ago if I knew this was going to be the outcome. I'm a team player, if nothing else.
Yeah, we've talked about this before when you and I have recorded before, but you and I kind of had this. I mean, it wasn't every game, but we had this tradition of when I was driving back to St. Louis after yet another loss, and you were doing your tradition of going and buying something on your way home from the game, we would do a phone call, just, I'm on the highway forever, of, like, just trying to talk out, like, is this ever going to turn around? And, yeah. You know, we had dozens of these phone calls of, like, God, we're going to go 3-9 again, or I don't think we'd win another Big Ten game.
Yeah, like, this isn't going to get better.
Yes,
yeah.
It's October. Right. We've got 7 more of these.
Yeah,
and I don't think we have a chance in any of
these
them.
These were the winnable games.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. We had that conversation so many times.
Yeah.
So that's why to have this conversation with you, it's just so rewarding. Like, it feels like a reward. It feels like we won something. Like, as a fan, I feel like I won a contest. Like, I have this emotion of, like,
yeah,
this is hard to believe that this is mine, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'll challenge your wording there a little bit. I mean, I don't think it's that we won something. I mean, this is earned.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yes.
This is.
Yes. Don't get me wrong. Yes.
You know, and I mean, just as a fan base, you know, and just there's so many people that, you know, bleed orange and blue and, you know, show up to the football games, and, you know, we've had the, you know, turnover over the years, and everybody who's been close to the program knows that. But, like, that's the part to me that is really good is, you know, and Brett Bielema, we got a guy that that really wants to be here, that values this place. I mean, that engages with the community, that gets it, that you know, understands, you know, the type of program that he wants to have and the type of program that we need to have. And, you know, and now it's – and I've always said this about Coach Bielema from the moment he showed up. I mean, it's what I tell everybody. I'm like, and I said this, you know, after I met him for the first time. And, but I mean, he is somebody who showed up with a very detailed plan about how he wanted to build and run Illinois football's college football program. And he has been executing on that business plan on a consistent basis and tweaking it and changing it and emphasizing certain parts. And, you know, the part to me that I think is, you know, very impressive also is, you know, when there's been staff turnover, either, you know, turnover that you know, Illinois elected or other people go, you know, Ryan Walters goes to Purdue and takes several staff members, but the ability, you know, to go and to reload and to bring in people that work and that fit. And I just think it's, you know, we are a solid college football program right now. And, you know, we have more, you know, now that's 2, you know, 8-plus win seasons or whatever it is in the span of 3 years, which is fantastic. And, you know, it's for us to be, you know, a stable, solid college football program in the current collegiate football in particular, athletics landscape, you're just going to be able to capitalize on all kinds of inefficiencies that exist in the market. And for a long time, we were kind of that, you know, crazy program that, you know, we turn over people every 3 years and, you know, hey, we're going to run this offense. And then 2 years later, we're going to run this defense. And we're going to try this, you know, offense and then this off. And when you're switching your identity, you can't establish an identity. I think we've established an identity as a program, and we know the kind of guys we want to recruit. We know the kind of transfers that can work here, that people that don't work here. And yeah, I mean, that's to me the exciting part is, you know, right now we're, I mean, we are a solid program.
Yeah. I got a text, or not a text, a tweet sent to me from somebody a few days ago that was just saying, like, you know, I have a son, younger son, who really got into football, you know, a couple years ago. So 2022 was his first real year. And then he was really super into everything this year. He's like, I'm just trying to think with, like, after reading that, I was thinking, think of that kid's brain. That kid, this is Illinois football to him, right? Yeah,
we're the Chiefs.
And that's,
yeah.
that's what, yes, exactly.
Yeah, we're the Chiefs.
We're the Chiefs, yeah. Yes. That thought that there's a kid now out there who thinks we're the Chiefs, I love that thought, you know? I never once thought. Now, I got close to that. I tell the story. When I was in high school, it was the Makovic years.
Yeah.
Look, we finished in 89. We finished 10th in the polls. Same thing. We won the Citrus Bowl over a team ranked 16th at the time. We had a lot coming back. We were preseason, you know, ranked number 11 in 1990. We were as high as fifth that year before losing to Iowa. Like, I kind of understood that kind of Illinois football.
Yeah.
But none of the kids between then and now have ever understood that. There have been big moments. There was the Sugar Bowl. There was the Rose Bowl. But, you know, the idea that this guy telling me, my kid just thinks this is Illinois football. That's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Like, just think of that, that there's a kid who just thinks that that's who we are.
I mean, again, just think of how far we've come in the last 10 or 15 years, right? Like,
yep.
And this thought just popped in my head, but it's the perfect encapsulation, you know, of what we were, and then you juxtapose that with where we are. I mean, we're the jackasses that when the Sandusky Penn State stuff happened, we're the idiots that sent a coaching staff to go camp out at a restaurant in Happy Valley. Mm-hmm. Like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, it was ridiculous at the time. It's even more preposterous in hindsight, you know, and to go from that to where we are here now, I mean, that's the fun part, and to live through it, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the
endure it, survive,
persevere.
It.
But that's the piece that, you know, it's just, you gotta, and, you know, we were talking about this earlier, but like, yeah, it's like, you're kind of on a high, and that's the part of it. It's like, you know, there's going to be rainy days ahead. There's no doubt about it. Right. Like, that's athletics. But like, if you know, you talk about a fan base that should be able to just enjoy living in the moment and while the sun is shining, just bask in it. And, you know, that's what I'm doing right now.
Yep. I want to talk also about the Michigan game this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's, that was the enduring memory for me. And then it's, you know, in the last 3 weeks, it's been replaced by this bowl game. But that's still there. Like, I said this after the bowl game. Like, two of my top five Illini football experiences in my life happened this year. Like,
yeah,
two of the very top five basking in the glow of a win happened this year. You know, A, because it's Michigan. And let me say, the fact that they ended up beating Ohio State and beating Alabama and nearly got ranked, you know, that makes that so much sweeter, you know?
Validates it more. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, at the time, there were the haters who were like, oh, it's not really Michigan. You know, there's still the Michigan mystique that we can't conquer. We just beat them when they're, you know. So for them to finish the season like they did is really, really good for the feeling I have for that game, which was all the buildup, all the anticipation, a fan base that has seen buildup and anticipation always lead to disappointment. To then have that payoff that day in perfect 72-degree sunny weather without a cloud in the sky and the tailgate lots after a game better than I've seen them in my entire life in 52 years. To have that happen and this bowl game, I just cannot get over this season. It was just perfection.
No, I mean, I mean, you had the build up, you know, the 100-year anniversary of Memorial Stadium, and you know, the Division of Intercollegiate Athletics at U of I did an awesome job putting together a banquet type thing the night before, and they had, you know, they had representatives from the past, you know, panels from the past five decades of Illinois football, and you had great guys come back. And so that was a really cool experience. And then the game, and then the Red Grange uniforms. I mean, and just they look so awesome. Yep. And, you know, to go out there, right, and to beat, you know, the defending national champion, Michigan Wolverines.
Yep.
And to beat them at Memorial Stadium on that day, and to beat them the way that we beat them too, just in control the whole game, and just the more physical team, the team that was more ready to play. It was a ton of fun. I mean, and that's, you know, that game, you know, I went to, you know, I'd never been to Illinois football games with my family before, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, we have, you yep. know, 13-year-old daughter, 10-year-old son, 5-year-old son, and obviously doing the radio or doing other stuff, like, it just never worked out. And so, you know, the first game we ever went to together was this year, Kansas, you know, and so, and so Coach invited me to be the honorary captain, so 1-0, mm-hmm. you know, awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was your speech.
Undefeated, yeah, sure.
Yes, yes.
But then, you know, took my son, just, you know, just me and Mikey went to the Michigan game, mm-hmm. you know, and so, but just a great memory, and then yep. going down on the field after the game and just swamped, and I mean, it was, yeah, it's the kind of stuff that you're just going to remember forever.
Yep.
You know, and just to have, and getting just the whole fan base to enjoy it and to embrace it and know what it means to beat Michigan at home. Yeah, that was an unbelievable memory.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same. It has this kind of, I don't know, Christmas as a child feeling when I think back on that game, of just the warmth of, like, oh man, you know. And then again, this, you know, personally for me, this is the year we did the fire truck. This is the year,
right?
That was the single biggest tailgate we've ever had. And to come back out after the game to a mob of people at the fire truck, and we're lighting the eye and we're sounding the siren and all this stuff, like, it's a movie to me. Like, it's yeah. hard to believe. And my wife is there, and my kids are there, and everything else. This has just been that kind of season. And I'm so glad. I just wanted to say this about that game. I'm so glad it eventually sold out.
Yeah.
Because if there would have been empty seats, if there would have been voids where people weren't getting to experience that.
Right.
Like, in my mind, only 60,600 get to experience that. Mm-hmm. In my mind, there would be 500,000 people who would want to be there.
Yeah.
That's just how I view yeah. the world of, like, who wouldn't want to be here? This is the greatest thing on earth right now. And to have that happen, to have it be sold out, that every person who could experience that did experience that, is perfection. So, yeah, this season is going to live in my mind for a long, long, long time. Now, we promised we were going to talk about, you know, the future, so, you know, in the final 15 minutes here, we probably should cover that a little bit.
Yeah.
So let's talk about where it goes from here. Because, look, we just beat the national champions at home on October 19th of 2024. On October 11th of 2025, the national champion Ohio State Buckeyes come to town.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that damn turtle since you pushed your way back onto the field in 2007 and told Eric Block, get the hell out of here. I'm going to be on this field. I guess you only missed like 6 plays or whatever, but even being injured, you got back out there because you were going to be there for the kneel down.
Correct.
Of the final series of the, you know, of beating Ohio State on the road. So we're going to have another opportunity to do that on October 11th. And that's crazy to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's the, you know, look, the, and there's obviously a ton to unpack with, you know, with this past season and then going into next year. But, you know, I think, again, when you look at the returning, you know, people that we have, and I think you have to start with what is the most important position in team sports, and that's quarterback. And that was the thing, you know, and I didn't, you know, obviously I watched just about every game. You know, I didn't study us and opponents as much as I had previously, and I missed that. And so, you know, I'm a bit self-conscious about some of my opinions these days. I don't know how everybody has all these ill-informed opinions and they're uber confident in them. But, you know, look, that what I kept defaulting to, especially down the stretch last season, was, and it's going to be, I think, accentuated next year, is we're going to go into just about every game and have an edge at quarterback.
Yep.
Right? We're going to have the better quarterback that's out there. And Luke Altmyer, I thought, did a great job this year, really took another huge step in his development, which was so great to see. Because I think people slept on what kind of year he actually had the previous year, just because of that Penn State game and the four yep. picks or whatever it was. But,
yep.
you know, Luke, you know, played great down the stretch, and, You played great the whole season. I mean, just really took care of the football. And so when you look at next year and you start with quarterback and you say, okay, well, we're going to have the best quarterback, and it's not like a close thing. Like, we're going to have the best quarterback on the field today. Mm-hmm. That gives you such a huge advantage. And then you add in guys like, you know, Akis and Xavier Scott. And, you know, I was so impressed by the way that, you know, the offensive line and the running back room and the tight ends, you know, played down the stretch, because you look at Illinois statistically and you're like, okay, this team won 10 games. And you see Pat Bryant, who obviously, you know, his statistics really pop out. But, you know, it was just a great team. Right, you had guys that yep. really figured out what their role was and how can they contribute, and different guys stepped up in different games, and that's the exciting part. Is now you add a couple, you bring almost all those guys back, and you add a couple more pieces to that, and then you just have that stability that you now, okay, now we can throw in the extra three wrinkles on this play that we've already established pretty well over the past 2 and 3 years. So, yep. I mean that's the fun part, that's the exciting part, and yeah, so it leads to, you know, 2025 is going to be a lot of fun.
Yep, yep. And it's a, how do I say this properly? There's a different kind of anxiety with a season like this. Like, I was thinking this the other day. I don't know if, since I was in high school, I've experienced the emotions I'm having when I think about next year, which is, it's always been, like, you're kind of hopeful that something goes
yeah.
wrong. I've never been, oh, I hope it doesn't go, I hope it doesn't crash. You know, I've never had the confidence of like, yeah, this is a top 12 team.
Yeah.
This is one of the, easily one of the 15 best college football teams next year, regardless of what happens with the portal, to have all these players back from a 10-3 team that just beat, you know, a South Carolina team, everybody said should be in the playoff, and beat them, you know, at their game with their, beat them with their own football. To have that kind of feeling, and then to have the like, oh man, gosh, what if some of those close games don't? I've just never experienced the anxiety of what if we don't win 9 games. It's a crazy outlook. I'm not saying I'm scared. It's an exciting feeling for me. I've just never had the anticipation feeling of like, gosh, I hope we don't win 7, you know. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's just so crazy to put my mind in this mindset when from that bowl game you have 18 of the 22 starters coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I get it. I just say, I mean, there's a lot of programs around the country that are used to that every year,
yep.
right? And I think yep. that's just the fun part when you look at the growth of where we've been and where we're going, that, you know, the expectations should continue to be raised every year. And I think we want that, but I think you also can't lose sight of the fact that, you know, you just got to keep the upward trajectory. I mean, there's some people say, oh, you know, well, we should be playoffs or bust next year. I'm like, I don't feel that way. You know, I think we're going to be really good. I think it's, you know, I think there's going to be close games where it goes for us and it goes against us, and how that shakes out, I mean, I have no idea, but that's what makes football fun. I yep. mean, that's the great part about it. And,
yep.
you know, the great part about it too is, you know, we still get to enjoy the last win for another 8 months.
Yeah. Even if we join that club of teams that at the end of the year, this year, we're like, man, it's our own fault. Like Ole Miss, like, we lost at Florida, and we should have destroyed Florida, and that, or we, you yeah. know, lost to Kentucky, and we just shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, you're Miami. Last week of the season, we had just win this game, and you right. locked up a playoff spot, and we lost it to Syracuse or whoever they lost to. So it's just, it's crazy to think like that could be our disappointment. Our yeah. disappointment could be like, oh, got to 9-3 or 8-4, and you know. It's so hard to wrap my brain around the concept of all of that because I've spent so much time doing the other.
Yeah, well, and I think that's kind of the next, you know, I think that's the next challenge, you know, for the team that's coming back next year. And I think the experience in 2023 will really serve, you know, obviously the coaching staff well and the guys who lived through that well, because you had, you know, what was a breakthrough year. And lost the bowl game at Mississippi State, and then come out the next year, and then wind up 5-7. And so, you know, it's the different. You know, we have to continue to take those steps forward, and a step forward as a program doesn't have to be an 11-win season necessarily, but take that step forward to really just retrenching in terms of the stability and the expectations and continuing to build the program. And I think that's the piece that I'm sure they're talking about and focusing on this offseason is, you know, it's not the kind of thing you show up and play football at the University of Illinois and you win 10 games. That doesn't just happen.
Sure. Yep.
Right. So that's why we're going to really benefit from having a lot of that leadership and those seniors back is you have a lot of your, you know, kind of cultural, your program DNA and the people who embody that. I mean, they're still going to be, you know, putting the Illinois helmet on, right, which is huge.
Yep. Yep. It's interesting to think, you know, I'm looking at the schedule the other day of next year, and it's interesting how on the Illinois side, you can trust that you know the players and you know who's returning. So it's not some like this team could surprise you. You know what you're going to get because this is not portal dependent. For Duke, for Indiana,
right.
For Purdue.
You don't know.
You have no idea.
No idea what they're going to be.
Like, Purdue has already added 29 portal transfers or something like that. They've basically jettisoned half of their roster. It's what Indiana just did.
Right.
Barry Odom at Purdue has now brought in 8 or 9 of his UNLV players.
UNLV,
he took his best player.
Of course
just
did.
What
yeah.
Cignetti did.
Yeah,
he took 13 players from James Madison and said, you guys are good enough to play in the Big Ten. You're the top 13 guys that recruited. Come with me. And, you know, you can turn around a season like that. So we don't even know what Purdue will be like. You know, we think of Duke and it's like, oh, they lost their quarterback and this and that. They have, you know, you just don't know.
You don't
so
know
it's
these
the
days.
Craziest thing. We're a known quantity because we have these, most of the team coming back. Wide receiver is the only real question. Wide receiver and defensive line, are the transfers going to be good enough than the play? But you've got everybody getting better a year later.
Right.
You've got juniors becoming seniors, and they're normally going to have their best season. But for the rest of the schedule, we just don't. You don't know. Like, USC and Duke could be playoff teams. We just don't know yet.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
Right.
We might look back and say, well, that was the hardest September we ever played. It's so hard.
Yeah, I was gonna make a smart ass remark. I'm not gonna
say. look at you, you're maturing.
I know. I know. I think we can safely say Duke's not a playoff team. I'm gonna go out on a limb there. I'm not saying we are. I'm saying I'm fairly confident there.
Yes, but it's just so crazy to like. Before, when I thought Illinois would have a good team, I would look at the schedule and have a really good idea of what the opponents
right, absolutely.
Were gonna be.
The variability here. I mean, it's volatility is what it is. I mean, the volatility year to year, you know, can be extreme. Right? You know, is Indiana going to be able to reload? What does that look like? Right? I don't even know the schedule. I don't know if we do play Indiana.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But like, there's all of these teams where you can't tell, but I do believe, and that's the part, and this is just a philosophical thing. Again, I do believe that Illinois is a football program, and the way that we're building and running the program, and the program is being run, ultimately we will benefit from it because you can't overstate things like chemistry in a locker room. And you can't, you know, it's hard to slap chemistry together in a couple of months, you know, or if you have you're missing key people or these guys never played with each other. I mean, there's a lot of guys next year that have been through, you know, very intense environments. They won the Citrus Bowl, you know, against South Carolina. I mean, all these, you know, positive experiences. And so I think in the end, it's going to be programs like us that do benefit because there's those, you know, sometimes unquantifiable things. I mean, the statistics you can quantify, experience you can quantify, but, you know, there's that other aspect of it in collegiate sports and especially college football. I mean, it is 99.8% mental.
Yes.
You know, for a lot of programs. You know, you have a couple programs, and even that's dissipated. I mean, I always used to think, hey, you basically had 5 programs at the top, 5 programs at the bottom. You know, the talent is very different, but, you know, you kind of got the other 100 people that are within one standard deviation of each other. Like, it's not a huge talent differential. But I think that's been spread around a little bit more by the transfer portal. But that's where I think the things like, you know, trust and chemistry and relationships and believing in each other and, you know, having experience playing with each other, all that stuff really, really matters.
You mentioned volatility, and it's interesting that there's so much stability in the way that Bielma has gone about this build compared to others. Like, I'll use Michigan State as an example. Michigan State with Mel Tucker – the first year, they were really one of the first to go really hard on the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And they found Kenneth Walker and all this stuff.
Yep.
And they win 10 games. I think they won 10 games the regular season, won their bowl
game.
I think
11 games.
And everybody's like, Mel Tucker signed him to 700-year contract, and this is over. But then he had to go do it again, and he won five games, and then he was fired, and the, you know, off the field stuff and everything else. After, you know, he had two more years where he couldn't replicate it, and then he was fired.
Right.
And the whole thing we're remembering of it is like he went out, found the right combination of players, found a great running back, based his team around that, won 11 games, but then couldn't do it again. Cignetti might not be able to do it again next year with a different quarter. You know, they got the Cal quarterback to replace Curtis Rourke, but who knows if that works? And they've got, you know, 20 other guys who graduated or went off to the NFL, and who knows what happens with that. To have a program that has these starters coming back and had, you know, the fourth youngest team in FBS football this year, and to have that coming back next year to have all these known quantities, that's a really huge benefit for Illinois right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
He might have been served to go out and get some more transfers for the 23 season when there were some big holes, but he only did 7 or 8, 9 transfers last year. For the purposes of this, like, hey, we're going to bring Alex Bray along. We're going to bring Pat Farrell along on the defensive end. We're gonna slowly bring these guys along, and when Colin Dixon's ready, we're going to put him out there, and when this guy's ready, we're going to put him out there. And I think it really benefits of where – it's a huge benefit to where we're going and the stability we have for next season.
Yep.
And to be able to say that, like, I'm saying these words, and in my head, I'm like, is this really us? Like, I feel like I'm talking about Wisconsin right now, but I'm not talking about Wisconsin right now. Wisconsin's a mess right now, and we are stable. How is this even possible?
In the year of our Lord, 2025.
That's right. Well, we said we were going to go 45 minutes, and we've gone 43 minutes. So I'm going to give you the final 2 minutes. To anything you want. I'm going to let you make a closing statement on Illinois football 2024 and 2025, you know, as a former player, as a former All-American, you know, you've watched this from the radio booth, you've done all this, and then in the stands in 2024, you got to see this season and enjoy a bowl game with your family. Your closing statement, sir.
No, I mean, I just think, and everybody that I've talked to, you know, I think the fan base is fairly well aligned here, where it's just a matter of, you know, hey, make sure you enjoy it. And again, I'm just, you know, I'm in general just, you know, very appreciative, you know, obviously not doing the radio this year, but I've had a lot of people that, you know, over since I announced I wasn't coming back almost a year ago, you know, just a ton of people who are, you know, incredibly kind and gracious and, you know, hey, I miss you in the booth and everything. And, So it was a little bit weird, but I mean, it was, if you're ever looking for validation that you're doing the right things, and then it doesn't take very long to kind of get that figured out, that's really rewarding. Yeah. And so to be able to have this season, and it would have been great to do it from the booth, but it was incredible to just experience that with, you know, with my family, you know, with my kids and my wife. And, that's the piece that just makes this, past season so memorable. Is, and I think that's why a lot of us do it, right? Like, you do it for the moments, you know, and the experiences. And you can't buy experiences and moments and memories. And, you know, as life goes on and, you know, you have people in your life that aren't there anymore, or they pass away. I mean, what you're left with is the memories and, you know, things that you never forget. And so I feel like, you know, I think my kids are going to remember this season forever. You know, my wife and I will remember it for a long time. And it was really special to be able to experience that in the stands, you know, with the people you love. And I know the people that listen to this, you know, they go to games with their family, they tailgate with their family, you do it with yours. Like, that's what this is it's a community. And so to be able to have, you know, that kind of joy with the people who are so aligned with you and have kind of been through it, you know, in terms of the Illinois fan base I'm talking about now, have been through the ups and the downs and this and that. And that's the piece that that's huge. And that's the piece that, you know, I know the guys on this past team don't appreciate it now, but you know, they'll have people coming up to them for the rest of their lives talking about what the 2024 season meant. And they'll talk about the Michigan game.
Yep.
And they'll talk about the South Carolina game. Because I've experienced that for the last 15, 16, 17 years. And it's great. And it's awesome. And so I'm happy for, you know, for us as fans. I'm so happy for the coaching staff. They did such a tremendous job. Really happy for the players to get those memories and to have those experiences with their families and have their families, you know, watch them in Orlando and have, you know, take part in those memories. So it's just a great year, unbelievable, and let's do it again.
I couldn't say anything any better. We'll leave it at that. I guess all you're left to say is ILL.